honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
The Japanese have seen what our atomic bomb can do. They can foresee what it will do in the future.
That is President Harry Truman addressing the nation 77 years ago this week. Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Let's hear more of what the president proclaimed over some of these very same radio airwaves.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. That was because we wished in the first attack to avoid, in so far as possible, the killing of civilians. But that attack is only a warning of things to come. If Japan does not surrender, bombs will have to be dropped on her war industries, and unfortunately, thousands of civilian lives will be lost. I urge Japanese civilians to leave industrial cities immediately and save themselves from destruction. I realize the tragic significance of the atomic bomb. Its production and its use were not lightly undertaken by this government. But we knew that our enemies were on the search for it. We know now how close they were to finding it. And we knew the disaster which would come to this nation and to all peace-loving nations, to all civilization, if they had found it first. That is why we felt compelled to undertake the long and uncertain and costly labor of discovery and production. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. Having found the bomb, we have used it. We have used it against those who attack us without warning at Pearl Harbor, against those who have starved and beaten and executed American prisoners of war, against those who have abandoned all pretense of obeying international laws of warfare. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war. Only a Japanese surrender will stop us.
That Japanese surrender was less than a week away when President Truman said those words 77 years ago. At the time, Norris Jernigan was a 20-year-old intelligence clerk on the island of Tinian. That is a long way from Wendover, Utah, where Norris and the rest of the 509th Composite Group had trained to employ a secret weapon that remained secret to most of them until the day the bomb was dropped. Wendover will always hold a special place in Norris's heart and in history.
Are there some specific things that came to mind just being back there on that base that you think are still significant all these years later?
Yes, they asked me to talk to the group, and I did. I told them that they all should support Wendover, Utah, the Army Air Base that we trained in before we went overseas. And I said, you people realize that this was the launching pad for the group trained here that went overseas, performed their mission, and it stopped World War II. And I said, so it's a very significant place and should be remembered as a historic place.
And I know you and I have spoken about this before, and you've talked to a lot of other people about it before. But now that you've had another birthday and you're 97 now, is your perspective about the bomb and its significance any different now? How do you articulate when someone says, was the atomic bomb worth it? What's your answer for that?
I say absolutely it was worth it. Sure, it killed a lot of people, but any war implement does exactly that. And you hear a lot about the people that were killed when the two atomic bombs were dropped. But the firebombing that was done over Tokyo, which literally burned Tokyo down, did more property damage and killed more people than the two bombs did together. So I always say that dropping the two bombs killed a lot of people, but it saved more lives than the number that were killed. The invasion of Japan was scheduled for November 1st. Dropping those two bombs ended the war and negated that invasion. They were massing troops on Okinawa and the Philippines to make that massive invasion. The Japanese knew it and were moving troops down to that area to welcome them. And I heard one figure that the first wave of forces going into the beaches would probably be 100% fatality. And, you know, that's just gives you shivers. You talk about lives. In the military, we were all just numbers. And every action, they knew that certain numbers of them would be killed. But it was necessary to carry out the missions.
I've had so many people through the years say, oh, thank God for what you guys did. My grandfather was on Okinawa with the invading force in training, getting ready for that invasion. Or my grandfather or my uncle or my dad was on Philippines with the invading force. What you guys did stopped that invasion. So they said, thank you for that, or I wouldn't be here. You know, and they're right. So it would have been the bloodiest battle in the world's history, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, I've heard all kinds of speculation about, oh, no, it wouldn't have been that, you know, but just face the facts, for heaven's sakes.
Colonel Paul Tibbetts, and by the way, the airplane name was Enola Gay, he had that name painted on the fuselage of the airplane the day before they flew that raid on Hiroshima. And it was his mother's name because he so respected his mother. She's the one that encouraged him to go ahead and get into flying. And his father had different idea. He had determined that young Paul would go to the medical school. But young Paul was taking flying lessons, and he just learned to love flying, and he wanted to continue that. So his mother told him, well, if that's where your heart is, go for it. And she helped explain that to his dad, which was necessary. He had never done it alone. But his dad finally said, well, I don't care. If you want to go ahead and kill yourself, go ahead and do it. Well, as a result, young Paul became an Army Air Corps cadet, took the flight training, got his wings, and eventually wound up being an airplane group commander of a B-17 group in Europe. He was given the assignment to put together this 509th group that would be entrusted with dropping the two atomic bombs. Actually, there were more to come. There was a third bomb that had not left the States yet, but there was one of our airplanes was here, and I understand the bomb was loaded on it, ready to fly it to Tinian to be used on the next atomic bomb mission. But it only took two of the bombs to convince the Japanese that we had more than one. Speculation is that they thought we only had one, so we destroyed Hiroshima, and they went on business as usual, thinking that they could eventually turn the war around and win it still. But it was an impossibility. They were completely beaten, really, before the two atomic bombs were dropped, but would not admit it and give up. So anyhow, Colonel Tibbetts stayed in the military and retired as a brigadier general, and he used to come to some of our reunions when he could. But almost invariably, when he did come to one of our reunions, there'd be a reporter there that would shove a microphone in his face and say, aren't you sorry for what you did? So he finally developed a response to that and had it put in print. It said, the morality of dropping that bomb was not my business. I was given a military mission to complete, and I did it to the best of my ability, period. And that says it all.
You don't hear much criticism about the napalm bombs, which are just a horrible weapon of just literally burning people up with that napalm. You don't hear anything about that, you know. But the two atomic bombs were so inhumane, you know. Should never have done it. We should have dropped one out in the ocean just to demonstrate to the Japanese the force of it. Well, what damage would it have done out there? It probably killed a bunch of fish, but, you know, it had to be done. That was the reason it was developed. That was the reason it was used. And the use of it stopped the war, as far as I'm concerned. I'm glad they were dropped, no question about it. I'm glad they've never been used again. I hope they never will be. We never learn from our wars. We think we do. We think, oh, this is the one that'll end all wars. Well, that's what World War I was for. That's what World War II was for. Well, we've been in war ever since World War II, in one place or another. It hasn't ended the wars. You know, as long as there's people on this earth, there's going to be wars in some form or another until the end of time when Christ comes back. He'll put a stop to the whole thing, and it'll be set straight again. But as long as there's people, and people choose to hate, and there is so much hate in the world right now, that how can we ever get together and solve any problems? There's only one answer, and that's Christ. He's the answer, and if we would get the whole world to turn to Christ, that would solve all of our problems.
When August 6th comes around on the calendar every year, what do you think about? What crosses your mind on that date each year?
I'm still proud of the fact that I was part of something big. My job was not that big. I was a clerk in the intelligence office. I never touched either of those bombs. Never actually saw one. The one I saw was covered with canvas, so I didn't actually see the bomb. So, just knowing that I was part of something that big that at least stopped war for a little while. That war in the Pacific was so, so cruel and bloody. It was terrible, absolutely terrible for both sides. At that point in my life, I had a great strong hate for the Japanese. But once the war was over, I feel like it's time to set things aside, restore our respect for each other, and let's go on from there and try to make it a better world. And I think in a lot of ways that happened for a while.
That's just a part of your life. Part of your life that I'm sure has influenced a whole lot of your life. But yeah. When you look back, is there something that you'd say you're most proud of?
Yes, my marriage. I met my wife about 2 weeks after I was discharged from the service, and we just hit it off from the very beginning. And by December of that year, we were married. When she passed away, we'd been married 68 years as of December 29th, 2014. And she passed away then in April 2015, very suddenly. Proud of those 68 years. Just a great life.
What still motivates you or keeps you going?
Just to keep going. You know, I just have to assume that I'm here, still here, because God has something for me to do. I don't know what it is. May never know. But I think once it's accomplished, if it's ever completely accomplished, then God will say, okay, come on home.
Not only has that not happened yet, but Norris just returned this week from a month-long trip to Israel, accompanied by his granddaughter. The organizers of that tour are already planning on taking him back to the Holy Land when he turns 100 in 2025. Don't forget to go online and check out the great television report on Norris Jernigan's return to Wendover, Utah, and his flight in the B-29 dock. KSL Television and reporter Andrew Adams did a great job with that. And of course, I hope you can join us again next time on Hometown Heroes, when we'll be reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.